Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt Peck is out today, but I've got plenty of good stuff for you today, so kicking off the episode, I was prepping for today's show to do something by myself, and I came across some interesting takes from our friends over at Locked On Kings. Matt George had an interesting take about Buddy Hield and how there is some growing frustrations, some growing negativities surrounding him, and maybe a deal needs to be made. And I was curious. I was like, okay, what's Buddy Hield making, and would that be a move that the Bulls would be looking to make right off the bat? Maybe it's an under the wire buy low on a player that's wants out of a place that is not fitting or not suiting his needs anymore. So I went back and forth with Matt, and he's going to join us here on Locked On Bulls, and going to get a full breakdown from him about Buddy Hield, what his worth on the open market was, why it got to this point with the extension not even kicking in until this next season, in which he'll be paid $24 million. He's going to be paid $90 million over 4 years. And why things have kind of gone sour with Buddy Hield. But first, I want you guys for context to hear what initially sparked me going back and forth with Matt about a potential deal coming to the Bulls. Here's what he had to say about Buddy Hield earlier today on Locked On Kings.
Why did the Sacramento Kings offer Buddy that contract, $88 million guaranteed contract with the opportunity to make upwards of $100 million with incentives added on to the $88 million deal almost a year ago? Why did they make that move? Well, the easy answer is because Buddy Hield is an elite shooter in the NBA, and like I said earlier, he is worth that money. Buddy Hield earned that money by his play. Specifically, Buddy Hield shot himself to that contract by shooting nearly 50% in catch-and-shoot situations and over 40% overall from the three-point line. Again, Buddy Hield deserved that money. Do the Sacramento Kings regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. Does Vlade Divac, who of course is no longer the general manager of the Sacramento Kings, does he regret giving Buddy Hield that money? Probably. And it's not because Buddy Hield's not worth that money, it's because of everything that has happened since Buddy got that money. Buddy Hield forgot what got him paid. It wasn't the fact that he is this sensational superstar player that is going to put the Kings on his back and lead them to the championship. That guy here is De'Aaron Fox, and Buddy Hield is aware of that. But Buddy Hield doesn't think he's second fiddle. Buddy Hield thinks he is guy number 1B. And De'Aaron is guy number 1A. And Buddy has said it from the very beginning. He wants to be paid like he is part of the core. He is part of the future of the Sacramento Kings. And you know what? He was, and in a way, he might still be. But Buddy Hield is not De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield is not the leader on this Kings team. Buddy Hield is a complimentary player who just so happened to lead the Kings in scoring and come up with some big moments on the perimeter for two reasons. One, because he's further along in his development than De'Aaron Fox, at least he was at that time. And two, because he was sharing the floor with De'Aaron Fox, who was drawing so much attention away from himself that he could get open opportunities. Catch and shoot three-pointers were the bread and butter of Buddy Hield's game. And for some reason, a lot of that element of his game disappeared this season after he got paid. And I'm going to split that down the middle, the blame 50-50. 50% of that is on Buddy Hield for wanting to be his hero and idol Kobe Bryant, and 50% of that is on Luke Walton, the Sacramento Kings, for going away from what made Buddy Hield so successful to begin with. Putting him on the perimeter, allowing him to just hover back and forth, go to the corner, go to the wing, go up top, regardless, spread the floor, let De'Aaron Fox either get the ball to you in transition or kick it out to you with inside out play. That's what worked.
So that's interesting to me, thinking about some of the frustrations that might be happening here with some players that don't feel like they're getting the necessary opportunities here in Chicago. I thought about it because Buddy Hield, there's still so much potential there. And this is part of what we talk about with Matt George coming up shortly, is his positives, his takeaways of why he's gotten to this point, why he was paid in the first place, being an elite shooter. But then he goes into some of the other things that may or may not hinder why Buddy Hield would be good or not to trade for. I'll be honest with you, he sort of talked me in and out throughout this conversation about trading back and forth for Buddy Hield, and there's a lot of parallels that I want to discuss with Matt Peck in a couple of future episodes too. There's a lot of complexes that I even bring up, maybe to a lesser extent, about Butler when he was here before he got his massive payday. So without further ado, let's take a listen to our friend from Locked On Kings, and that is Matt George. Before we get to our conversation with Matt George, I want to tell you guys about RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at Built Go. Our friends that brought you Built Bar for the last several months, which have been fantastic for my days in and out, bring you Built Go. Built Go is an energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your work. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. They have three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. It comes in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power you through the back nine, or maybe even your gym bag. Your Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. Again, go to visitbuiltgo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Now to our conversation with Matt George.
Probably not going to say this a lot, but that was good defense by Jabari Parker.
All right, now we're happy to welcome on Locked On Kings host Matt George. He covers the Kings for not only the Locked On Podcast Network, but for Sacramento Sports Radio. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. Good to talk to you. Hope everything's good up there in the Windy City. I'm sorry that the Kings in Sacramento has had basketball and you didn't, or the city of Chicago didn't get to experience Bulls basketball during the bubble period, but it didn't work out quite so well for the Kings, so maybe we should have all been together and no basketball, huh?
That's for sure. It was kind of a blessing in disguise for Bulls fans. We weren't involved with the bubble, but other moves that maybe have changed the course of what will be the 2020s of the Chicago Bulls era changed for the better with the front office moves, Jim Boylan being outed. But it's weird because the Kings and the Bulls have been involved with a lot of players over the recent years, at least interest-wise. The Kings offered Zach LaVine a contract a few years ago. They signed Jabari Parker. They were interested in Otto Porter. So there seems to be some type of parallel between the Kings and the Bulls. But I let our listeners hear you talk about Buddy Hield a little bit, and I thought your take was interesting, and so I decided to DM you today just to ask you what the value of Buddy Hield would be, just for ballpark's sake, getting interest across the entire league. And then we got into a conversation. I'm glad we're going to be able to cash this out now. So for our Bulls fans out there that maybe have not caught a lot of Kings games this year. Can you just kind of describe Buddy Hield's season overall this year and why it maybe has gotten to a negative point with the team?
Buddy Hield is, in a lot of ways, yin and yang, because there's so many elements of his game, and he'll provide you with moments any given night throughout a season where he just blows your socks off with his incredible shooting, and has times where he can put the team on his back. He had a couple of games versus the Boston Celtics specifically this season where he was really good, leading the Kings to a win without De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento over Boston, and then scoring over 40 points and nearly defeating the Celtics in the Garden in Boston. So he has those moments where he can just absolutely take over games. When he gets hot, he gets red freaking hot. And he's one of those guys where the best part about Buddy Hield is everything he puts up, you believe is going in, because he's just that good of a shooter. The problem with Buddy Hield is that he's not really good at anything else. And this is where the yang comes into the yin, because I've said this year, and I've had people disagree with me, and that's fine, but I've said that this year, to me, Buddy Hield has been exposed as an overall average to even below average basketball player overall. He is an elite shooter, absolutely elite shooter. That's the reason why he got his $88+ million contract from the Sacramento Kings, and I feel he deserves that money with the way the NBA is today. So we know he can shoot, and we know he can score. But creating his own shot, defensive liability, boneheaded mistakes, and low basketball IQ plays on both ends of the floor when it really matters. And on top of that, what has really emerged since he's gotten that contract this year is this new attitude and this complaining and this pettiness that has carried all the way into what's happened recently, which is him not only liking Instagram posts suggesting he should be traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, but him refusing to return the calls of head coach Luke Walton, who, by the way, he wanted when he didn't want Dave Yeager anymore a year ago. It's a weird saga with Buddy Hield.
Man, that's interesting. So it's all of a sudden turned into a character issue, which to me, I find so bizarre, considering the path that he led into the NBA and all the stories that we got when he was at Oklahoma. And even after that, his rookie season with the Pelicans, it seemed like he never really had those character issues. So you're telling me that after the contract followed, it seemed like an ego followed with it, and it was more about, hey, I demand this because I'm the most paid, or I'm one of the most paid players on this team, so I should be getting all the opportunities despite not playing his best in all sides of the floor.
Well, it really started to emerge during the contract negotiations when he came out very publicly after a preseason game in the Kings locker room. I was there in the media scrum. All of us were there, and we were expecting just to talk to him about a overall meaningless preseason game. And we start talking to him about the contract negotiations because that's one of the major storylines. And overall, the belief is, yeah, the Kings and Buddy Hield are going to work out a deal. Then Buddy drops this, I feel somewhat disrespected by the lowball offers that I've been getting from the Sacramento Kings. I want to be treated like I'm truly part of the core here in Sacramento, like I am an alpha, which he never has been. And the reason he got paid was because he was a beta to De'Aaron Fox and playing in the right kind of system, which we can get into that later. But Buddy Hield suddenly just drops on us that if he doesn't get what he wants here, if he doesn't get what he believes he deserves here, he's happy to take his talents elsewhere, and he'll go. And so suddenly he draws this line in the sand, which was very unusual for Buddy Hield, which overall to that point had been a fairly relaxed and kind of tongue-in-cheek and jokey guy. And what I do want to clarify before we go any further is that Buddy Hield is not a bad guy. He's not a bad dude. He's actually a ridiculously hard worker. He's a gym rat. He lives and breathes the game of basketball. So regardless of if Buddy stays in Sacramento or goes to Chicago or wherever he goes, he is going to put in the work, and that part of his game can't be questioned. The attitude and the ego, though, can come into question. Now that he's gotten that paycheck, he believes, at least here in Sacramento, that he is not a beta. He is not second fiddle. If De'Aaron Fox is 1A, he is 1B. And that's just not the case. To me, I think Buddy Hield forgot what got him paid in the first place, which was him being a nearly 50% catch and shoot, 3-point shooter on the perimeter. That's now transitioned into, okay, the Kings want me to do more because they're paying me like a star, but I'm going to be Kobe Bryant because he's my hero, even though that's not my game. So while I do believe the Kings have mismanaged Buddy Hield, especially in Luke Walton's system this past season, Buddy Hield hasn't done the Kings or himself any favors.
Wow. For Bulls fans, this is very reminiscent, and even to maybe a lesser degree, the early stages of Butler emerging as an all-star and talking about being seen as second fiddle to Derrick Rose, and you know the Bulls can't build around Jimmy Butler because they don't believe he's the number one guy. And you know that's something, that's a mentality Bulls fans have tried to get away from over the last 3 or 4 years because it put us in meddling in mediocrity for 3 or 4 years. It created bad relationships and it made people pick sides. But I agree with you too. I my sense of Buddy Hield just from afar was that he was a really hard worker. He was a dude that put in the work and deserved to get paid. And when I DM'd you, I said, man, I didn't even realize his contract didn't kick in yet, and already having some of these frustrations going on there too. I can understand it too, like a guy that's 27 years old at this point, being maybe a little bit outperformed or a little outshined by a guy in De'Aaron Fox, a couple years younger, that can create a weird complex in the locker room. So do you feel like for Buddy Hield to get back to what he was so great at and maybe improve on areas that he hasn't been so great with the Kings at, maybe a move to a different system? What system do you feel like fits Buddy Hield the best, or what team, players around him would fit him best and be able to maximize Buddy Hield's skills?
I personally feel that Buddy Hield needs to go somewhere where it's clear and obvious to everyone, including him, that he's not the number one guy. In Sacramento, he can make an argument, hey, I'm the team's leading scorer. I put the team on my back while De'Aaron Fox was injured. And yeah, De'Aaron Fox is 22 and this is his team, but I do just as much as he does. So I'm going to listen to myself and what I want to do because I believe I'm just as important to the team as De'Aaron Fox. Fox isn't the alpha personality to where he's going to tell Buddy to shut up and get in line. And Buddy doesn't respect Luke Walton. And now a new front office is in place. So who knows if Buddy's going to respect that new front office. He needs to go somewhere. We've heard a lot of rumors to Philadelphia. Philadelphia makes a lot of sense, especially now with Doc Rivers as their head coach, because he goes there and he knows, okay, I'm behind Ben Simmons. I'm behind Joel Embiid. Or at least I'd like to believe he's smart enough to recognize this is a great opportunity for me because I can be an important piece on a potential championship contender. However, my job is going to be doing what got me paid in Sacramento in the first place, which is running the floor, staying out on the perimeter, waiting for the defense to get sucked in, and then I'm going to get 8 to 10 3-point opportunities a game. And if I can connect on 45%+ of them, I'm going to be a really, really valuable asset. But the problem is, I don't think Buddy Hield has that mindset anymore. I think Buddy Hield has the mindset of, I'm being paid like a star because I am a star, and I idolized Kobe Bryant growing up, and I believe I can be like Kobe where I can create my own shot and I can be the alpha, I can be the star. And if he goes somewhere, maybe even like a Chicago, where that can be even remotely questioned, then I think there would be problems for him.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good, especially with our team not really knowing, with 2 years left on Zach LaVine's deal, and there's still some people here in Chicago that don't believe Zach LaVine can be a number one, or don't really have the idea of whether it be Carter, Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, and any of the four guys, who's going to be your one, who's going to be your two. That complex has been going on for the last 3 years since Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen have arrived here. And we still haven't gotten a clear answer. With a new head coach, a new front office, though, a new athletic trainer, it looks to be that the Bulls are shaping up. We just have a lot of unknowns right now. And as we're kind of already talking through this before we even get to what you think that Buddy Hield's value is, I'm talking myself out of a deal to Chicago. I want to hear what you believe Buddy Hield is worth on the open market. And if there's anything that sticks out to you, if the Bulls approach the Kings about a deal for him.
Well, let me be clear with one thing too. Buddy Hield is not a number one guy. Buddy Hield will never be a number one guy. And I think that's been made very clear by his overall play and his deficiencies. Like I said, he's been overall exposed as a average to below average overall basketball player with elite shooting. He can be an amazing number two or number three. He could be an amazing JJ Redick in the right system, or the right Klay Thompson, the Robin to somebody's Batman without the defensive prowess like Klay Thompson has. Buddy Hield can be that. but he can't be Kobe. He can't be an alpha. He can't be a number one guy because he's just not good enough. It's just not his game. But I don't think he believes that. And in fact, if he heard me say that, I think that would influence him and motivate him more to try and be that, which in the end, to me, would make things worse for him. But in terms of Buddy Hield's value, it's tricky because every time Buddy Hield opens his mouth, it goes down. And you can already see that new general manager of the Sacramento Kings, Monty McNair, he's on a bit of damage control right now because he comes in his introductory press conference when he's asked about Buddy Hield. The first things he says is, man, he's an elite shooter. He's going to be perfect in our system. I can't wait to use him. He does exactly what we want to do coming from the Houston Rockets organization. So Monty McNair is, maybe he's telling the truth and does want to try and make things work here with Buddy Hield. But if nothing else, Monty's trying to rebuild his image and his value so that if he were to shop Buddy Hield, he wouldn't get lowballed by teams who know that Buddy wants out anyway. And let's be very clear, Buddy Hield wants out of Sacramento. He's made it, he doesn't have to say it word for word verbatim. It's been made pretty clear by his antics and how he's acted over the last 4 or 5 months. So that, I think, brings his value down. That being said, he's an elite shooter in the modern NBA. And I know it's going to be difficult, especially with the COVID effect on the salary cap, to move on from his contract. That's not going to be easy. But Buddy Hield has plenty of years left, and he can be a star shooter on any team on any given night and can be a real difference maker on a playoff or championship team, in my opinion. So Sacramento's going to want to make sure they get not necessarily equal value, but substantial value back to where they know they're going to have to take on a big money contract in order to deal Buddy Hield's big money contract. So are they going to get someone who's basically dead money, who's going to sit there and eat up cap space for 2 years and then ultimately either leave or retire, like maybe Al Horford from the Philadelphia 76ers? If that's the case, the Kings are going to want either a young player, a draft pick, or both to come over as well. Sacramento, if they're going to move on from Buddy Hield, they're not just going to take on dead money and cut their losses. They're going to want to get something that Monty McNair can use in his system and his style that can help turn the Kings into hopefully a perennial playoff team in the years to come.
It's interesting that you say that. And one of the offers that I have that I kind of put together for the Bulls that makes sense, because that's the one thing, is we don't have large contracts that extend out 2 years or even further than that. The Bulls are going to have pretty clean books over the next 2 years. Zach LaVine's the longest contract that they have at $19.5 million this season coming up, and one more after that. But other than that, they're going to have some decisions to make on Markkanen, on whether or not a contract negotiation is going to start there. But even, I don't see Markkanen projecting to make a huge amount of money with the season that he, the prior two seasons he's had. Kobe White still has a couple years before a contract needs to be decided on him. Same thing with Wendell Carter Jr. So the Bulls are in a good spot. It just puts us in a difficult position to give back the Kings exactly what they're looking for. We talked about Otto Porter Jr., which is interesting because I know the Kings had interest in him too at one point or another, either dealing for him or signing him in free agency. I put together a deal which would send Buddy Hield to the Bulls, Otto Porter to the Kings, Cristiano Felicio to the Kings, and a 2023 first round pick, top 10 protected. My rationale on this from the Bulls side, and I'll get your thoughts on the Kings side of this, is the Bulls plan to be players in either 2022 summer or 2023 summer for a top line free agent. We're projecting the Bulls over the next 2 or 3 years to be in the top half of the NBA. So giving up a top 10 protected pick isn't the biggest deal in the world for the Bulls. You're adding a player that maybe over the course of the next 2 or 3 seasons, you strike out on signing big time free agents for the Bulls. At least you're committing to Buddy Hield's skill and being an elite shooter, adding him to the core mix of your other guys in Markkanen and Carter and LaVine, even potentially, and Kobe White, I think would be a phenomenal addition. And this would be AK taking his first shot on buying low on a player on a bloated contract, looking to get out of a situation. Is this too good of a deal for the Kings, too good of a deal for the Bulls, or what do you think overall about this deal?
I'm not going to say it's too good for one side or the other because I'm not 100% sure, especially now with Monty McNair in Sacramento. I don't know how he's going to approach this situation and what his overall philosophy is, although he did share with us that what's something that's important to him is maintaining flexibility, and I assume that means cap flexibility, so making sure he has money on the books to where he can get involved in sudden deals if they come available. A good example of that, right, is like what's currently happening with Victor Oladipo and the Indiana Pacers, right? While the Kings, I don't expect, will aggressively go after Oladipo, it's this kind of situation to where if 2 years down the road, player A just says, you know what, I want out. McNair and the Kings want to be legitimate contenders to be able to bring him in and afford him right away. So that's something to keep in mind. That being said, Otto Porter Jr. is actually pretty interesting because he is a player that the Kings have had interest in the past. I think everybody agrees that he is not worth the money that he is getting paid. I would say Buddy Hield is more worth the money that he's getting than Otto Porter is getting. However, it's going to be only 1 year, the 2021 season, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's a player option, right, for $28.4 million, which correct. I can't imagine him not accepting that. So it's getting rid of Buddy Hield's chunk of money for 4 years for just 1 year. And I think that would entice McNair. On top of that, the Kings have been looking for wing depth. Otto Porter helps with that. And then the pick on top is something that would really entice the Kings. So honestly, if this were a deal that Chicago offered, I think Sacramento would be very, very interested. I do have hesitations, though, that Chicago would offer something this good. I think they would initially not offer the pick. Maybe the Kings would try and get a pick out of it, because giving someone or giving up a player, a 27-year-old that's only on the books for one more year, for a player who's just starting a 4-year significant money deal, that's a really good win, I think, for the Sacramento Kings, especially if they could get an asset attached on top of that to help them win in the future. So,
yeah, I think going over the top too, even having to take Felicio's contract for 1 year, and the Kings could turn around and buy him out if they wanted to save the roster space as well. That $7.5 million comes off your books after next year. The $28 million from Porter does too, and it's kind of a 1 year tryout for Porter. Porter's interesting too here in Chicago, especially with Eversley back in being hired as the GM and back in talks and relationships with Otto Porter. They spent a lot of time with the Wizards organization while Eversley was there. Spending time with there, so those two are very familiar. The only thing on Porter that caught my eye or caught my ear over the last couple of weeks is Eversley said part of the reason Porter's injury happened last year, what contributed to that was Porter came into training camp overweight and out of shape, which does not bode well for any Bulls fans, and especially some of the things that happened with Porter were a little bit weird, but he seems to have come back over the last year, regained some confidence, and tapped into this Bulls team, and he's part of these mini camps now. So he's a player that I don't know if they're going to be looking to trade, but he's the one with the biggest contract if they're looking to make a move like this would happen. I have one more for you, Matt, and I'll let you go. This has been fantastic information on Buddy Hield, and I think our listeners are going to be fascinated with conversations going throughout the NBA draft and even the offseason of not only him, but other players that the Bulls will be looking to trade for. So this is trade B. This is the mindset that the Bulls don't find their clear guy at number 4 this year in the NBA draft, and they're looking to upgrade immediately, have a guy long term that's still under a decent contract in Buddy Hield and feel like they can get more value out of him. AK and Mark Eversley have had this history over the last 5 to 7 years of being able to find diamond in the rough players and develop them and develop them real well. This would be banking on the fact that Donovan is going to be your go-to in player development, be able to get the best out of your guys, and also buying low on a player that may slide in this draft. So the Bulls would receive the Kings number 12 pick. They would also receive the number 35 pick in the second round, and that's coming from Detroit going to the Kings, and that would be coming to the Bulls. They would also get Buddy Hield. In turn, the Bulls would turn around and send Otto Porter Jr. to the Kings and the number 4 pick. This might be a little too juicy for the Bulls. The Kings might have to add another piece to this if they're moving from 4 to 12. But yep. What are your thoughts about moving in the draft in 2020?
I'll tell you right friggin' now, if you offer that to me and I'm Monty McNair, I'd be an idiot to say no.
Yeah.
You're moving on from Buddy Hield, who's a problem. You're getting a pick right away, that a number 4 pick, even if it's a quote-unquote weak draft, you get to go out and get the guy that you want as a new general manager. Plus, you get a guy that only has one more year left on his contract, and you're dumping the 4 years of Buddy Hield. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's too good of a deal for Sacramento, at least in my opinion, to where the Kings would need to add a little sweetener on top. Maybe it's a future pick. I don't know how Monty McNair feels about that. The Kings have a boatload of second rounders. It's really what Vlade left here in Sacramento. So maybe they want 97 second rounders to sweeten the deal, or maybe there's interest in, I don't know, like a Nemanja Bjelica or a Jabari Parker if you want him back.
No. We're good on Jabari Parker. I can tell you that.
I agree with you. I'm there with you. Like, if this is going to happen, if this deal takes place, I think it's way too good to be true for Sacramento. They would have to add on something significant in return. I don't necessarily know what that is, but I would be all for that deal. Let me tell you one thing, too, before we wrap up. I've had a lot of fun with this, too. Thank you for having me on. One player that I know I'm very interested in, a lot of people in Sacramento are very interested in, because theoretically he would fit fantastically next to Marvin Bagley, who we all believe is going to get more than his fair share of time at the center position in Monty McNair's new era of Sacramento Kings basketball. And that's Lauri Markkanen. I don't know how financially it could possibly work out. And I think with Markkanen being under control by Chicago, I doubt that they'd be willing to move on from him without getting a pretty hefty package back. But he is a player that I've been very interested in potentially seeing in a Sacramento Kings uniform. Off the top of your head, I can't imagine any scenario, though, where Sacramento would be able to bring Markkanen back in some kind of deal involving draft picks and Buddy Hield.
Oh, man. I mean, Matt and I have had this, my co-host Matt Peck and I have gone back and forth about potential under-the-wire deals that might be happening and decisions that will be needed to be made if AK is looking to make a big move in this offseason. My gut decision says AK is going to make a large move. One of these four pieces that are quote unquote the core isn't going to be a part of the core anymore. I think he's going to look to upgrade right away. That being said, they need to make a decision on Wendell Carter Jr. Wendell Carter Jr. has actively voiced his opinion about wanting to play the four instead of the five long term. John Paxson and Gar Foreman had this idea that Lauri Markkanen could eventually be a small ball five in the right system, bulking up. He tried to bulk up in his second season. It ended up costing him and getting him hurt, and he was out for 9 weeks. So I don't know what the plan is for Markkanen, but they need to make a decision on one of these two guys, because if they continue down the path of, hey, Carter's going to still play center, I think he's going to be upset going into this year, and he's going to voice that over and over again. It's hurt Carter's value over the last 2 years. He's been in a lot of foul trouble playing out of position, being undersized, and it's caused him two injuries, too. It's caused him, because he's been undersized, caused him two injuries and to miss both half the seasons in his rookie year and his second year. So for Markkanen, this would be a decision that the Bulls are saying, we're going to move Mark Carter to the four. We're going to go out and try to find maybe a borderline all-star elite-level center to fill that position next to him. Our defense is set there, and we can get the most value back for Markkanen. I mean, right off the top of my head, for Markkanen, I would say the Bulls are going to be looking for borderline veteran talent to come in here and make an impact right away on top of draft picks. I understand Markkanen's coming on a down year and been injured, been hampered, kind of been upset with his role too with the Bulls, but he still has so much value, and I still think he's one of the elite shooters that have come out of these drafts over the last 3 years, and it hasn't been untapped by a guy in Jim Boylan that he told him to go get 45 more defensive rebounds, and that's the way that you're going to get more touches in a game. So
he's so young too, and he's got so much time. Time is on his side, clearly, and he fits the modern NBA style, which is why he's such an enticing piece. I can't imagine Chicago being willing to give up on him that easy, unless, like you mentioned, they were getting a haul or something significant in return that the Kings just aren't able to offer or willing to offer to where the salaries match up. So I think I already knew the answer, but just so you know, and from Sacramento's perspective, if the Kings, in my opinion, if the Kings had to pick one player from the Bulls roster that they could take, no questions asked, I think it would be Markkanen over Levine. That's just my opinion.
Interesting. We will definitely keep that in mind, too. And Matt, we appreciate your time and your information, too, on Buddy Hield. This is going to cause quite the reaction among Bulls fans, and they'll be interested, too, to go back and see if there's any deals that can be made outside the ones that we offered up. But again, thank you again, Matt George, for joining us. Locked On Kings, for all your Kings information. Check him out, and check him out on Twitter, too, as well. Matt, thanks again for your time.
It was an absolute pleasure, my friend. Let's do it again.
Thanks again to Matt George of Locked On Kings for jumping on the show today. A lot of really interesting information, too. I don't know if that's swayed your opinion about even enticing a deal for Buddy Hield or not, but give us your thoughts at 331-979-1369. If you've got questions for Matt or want to hear more from him of his coverage with the Locked On Kings and the Sacramento Kings team, you can follow him on Twitter at Matt George. KHTK on Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter too at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Thanks to our sponsors again today in RockAuto.com and Built Go. Make sure you check those sponsors out. Anytime you support our sponsors, you're supporting Locked On Bulls, and we appreciate it so much. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I like to associate myself with winning.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.